Alleluia, alleluia. Christ has risen from the dead. For today, we celebrate the eighth day of Easter, the last day of the octave of Easter. Every single day of this past week was as if it were Easter Day. And of course, unfortunately, in this secular and evil society in which we live, not only do people have to work when there is Mass, but other times they don't care. And that is the real problem of the world and the church of today, that most people don't care. And that baby agrees. I would be crying too if I didn't have to preach. But today is the eighth day of Easter. And of course, we have 50 days of Paschaltide until Pentecost. And thus, every day will be a special day as we recall the wonderful resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, through the wonders and the splendor of the liturgy, which we have celebrated last week. And indeed, even though for me it was very painful physically, nevertheless, it was glorious. It was superb. It was incredible how wonderful it was with everything that went together. But we today celebrate again the first Sunday. And the gospel of today, and of course, needless to say, the epistle of St. John is so very beautiful, but it would merit a whole other sermon, so we will not even try to touch it. But it is the Father and the Word, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit who testify to this reality. And if we believe the ridiculous testimonies of men who continuously lie to us, and they lie even before the altar, before me, before God and the Holy Trinity, and before the Blessed Mother, then why should we not believe the testimony of God, who does not lie? He is the truth. He gives us the truth, which we accept and we believe. And thus we see today the church mystically, in the sacred liturgy, which is really mystical. You do not have to be a nun in a monastery, St. Agnes of Montepulciano or St. Clare of Assisi, to be a mystic. You can be mystics, as Blessed Pier Giorgio was. St. John Paul II called him a mystic in the world. But he saw the glory of God wherever he went. I know he also saw the evil of Satan and of men, too. But he did not let that bring him down, as we should not let that bring us down. And so in the mystical reality of the sacred liturgy, we have experienced the passion and death, and now the resurrection of Christ our Lord. And here we have the first Easter evening, which would have been a week ago, but in the Mass right now, it is now. And our Lord appears to the 11, and there were others there too, but St. John only speaks of the 11. And everything is locked up. They were terrified. They thought they were next. They were going to come after them, and they were going to be crucified too. And so everything was shut and locked. There was no way to get in or out unless you actually opened a door, which was not easy. And then all of a sudden, in their midst, was our Lord Jesus Christ. And his glorified body, which he now has forevermore, and shows us forevermore. He does not have to obey the laws of physics, even those physics which he himself has set down. He is a creator after all. And so he comes in their midst. And you know, this Sunday has several names. They're very interesting. Some of them are a little bit amusing. It is known, and I suppose because after the great splendor of last week's liturgies, it is called Low Sunday. This is Low Sunday compared to last Saturday night, which was magnificent, and Sunday morning, which was magnificent. And so it's called Low Sunday. But it is not really low, and it is a high mass with all the bells and smells. And so it is a glorious occasion too. It is also curiously, and I suppose the monk that transcribed these things was maybe not, like many people here, paying attention. And so he called it Dominica in Albis, Sunday in white. Now, we have worn white since last Saturday night. And we will wear white almost every day, except for feasts of martyrs, which are important. And then we will wear red until after Pentecost. So why Dominica in Albis? Who knows? Maybe he went into the winery of the monastery and had a few swigs. I don't know. So it is Dominica in Albis. And then there is a third name for this Sunday, which all Sundays have in common. This Sunday is named after the first words of the introit of this Mass. And that's my favorite name, because there is a story. And the cantor has chanted, Quasimodo geniti infantis, alleluia. So it is Quasimodo Sunday. Now, the other part of this is a story is not necessarily real, but it might have been. In the wonderful Cathedral of Notre Dame de Paris, which is about to be reopened soon, one Easter morning, one of the canons of the cathedral comes out the door in the morning, early in the morning, before, well, the canons are chanting the divine office. And all of a sudden he looks down, and right there in front of those splendid doors, he sees a little baby. A little baby. And he says, oh my. And of course, that was very common until recently. Nowadays, they just butcher them, which is a horrible thing. But in those days, all the time in front of convents and monasteries and churches, I haven't had that happen yet, but it may, there was this little baby. And it was a curious baby. He was very ugly. Now, most babies are cute, at least. Though I find it that most babies, when they're born, they're not that cute. In about a week or two, they're really cute. And he picked him up, and he saw this poor little child. So he takes him in to the cathedral, where the canons are gathered to chant the divine office. And he says to them, look at what I found. And he says, we have to take care of this baby. And so he says, what are we going to name him? We have to baptize him right away. And so they don't know. And he says, well, we'll just baptize him with the name of today's Sunday. And so what does he call him? Quasimodo, the hunchback of Notre Dame. So that's why it's my favorite name. That cute little baby that wasn't so pretty, but yet was a gift from Almighty God. He is Quasimodo. Perhaps a fictional character, perhaps not. Like I said, it happened all the time. So, on this Sunday also, of recent, but ultimately it goes back to this. It goes back to that on the cross. the water and the blood, as St. John and the Gospel really testify. The water and the blood, the water signifying the sacrament of baptism, through which we enter into eternal life already. The blood signifying particularly the Eucharist, the queen of all the sacraments, but all the sacraments, the most precious blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, the water and the blood. And so in recent times, and I realize that there are some people who don't believe it, you don't have to. You don't have to believe in Fatima or St. Joseph or anything else if you don't want to. If you're going to be a Baptist, if you want to see only sola scriptura, go right ahead. I'll wave to you from heaven when I look down. But it is a reality, sanctioned by the Church, that this is also, because of what our Lord does here, Divine Mercy Sunday. What does our Lord do when he comes into the room? Pax Vobis. Peace be with you. Our Lord has come to reconcile God and man, and he has done it. And the result of that is Pax Vobis. Peace be with you. He shows them the reason why there is peace. The injuries on his hands and feet and side. And says again, Pax Vobis. And then he breathes on them. Now, whenever we have the rite of baptism, which we had yesterday, with a beautiful little baby, not Quasimodo, but even if it had been Quasimodo, we would have done the same. The priest or the bishop breathes in the sign of the cross over the baby's face. When the waters of Easter are blessed, when the sacred chrism and the other holy oils are blessed and consecrated, the bishop or the priest breathes on those things. Receive the Holy Spirit. In this case, he limits the reception and the gift. But this is the first Easter gift. It is customary for people to give each other gifts at Easter. In a sense, that is much more scriptural even than Christmas. And it is a custom for godparents and godchildren to exchange gifts, because baptism is the greatest gift. And so, he gives to us the sacrament of penance, which in some cases, and it is right even in old catechisms, is not all new. It's called the sacrament of reconciliation, by which we are reconciled to God when we have sinned. Because when we sin, we break our spiritual life and our connection with God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And so we are forgiven when we repent. And he says, whose sins you shall forgive are forgiven them. He gives us the power, the apostles and the disciples, the first bishops, the first priests. Not just anyone. But he also says words which in a way are sad, but they are reality. Whose sins you retain. That is, whose sins you do not forgive. They are not forgiven. Very seldom have I ever had to do this, but I have had to do it. When I say to somebody, I cannot forgive you. You're not repentant. You're not sorry. You're not going to change your life. You're going to continue doing what you're doing. I will not give you absolution. Come back when you are truly, truly sorry. And so our Lord gives us on this day, which he desired to be called also Divine Mercy Sunday, and all the liturgy attests to this. On this day, we give thanks to God for the holy gift of the sacrament of penance, of the sacrament by which our Lord, after we are baptized, which of course is the first and most important reconciliation between God and man. We are enlivened with the life of the Trinity, with the presence of the Trinity, sanctifying grace. We become members of His church, of His family. We are freed from original sin and from all sin. A wonderful gift. But after we are baptized, we oftentimes sin. And we need this sacrament, which we oftentimes ignore, the sacrament of confession, the sacrament of penance. Peace be with you. And that is how we obtain peace, the peace of God, in our souls and in our hearts. And we see, of course, the episode with St. Thomas Didymus, the twin. Perhaps on one week it was the evil twin, on the other week it was the good twin. I'm just kidding, but I'm sure somebody has written about that somewhere. But he did not want to believe, and then he did believe. And our Lord says, because you see, Thomas, you believe, blessed are those, that is, you and me, who have not seen, but have believed. What a wonderful gift of our Lord Jesus Christ, His divine mercy, that comes to us in the figure of Christ the Lord, risen from the dead, and from whose heart emit rays representing baptism and the Eucharist and all the sacraments. May our Lord Jesus Christ be praised. And may we, who are not worthy, be able to receive His mercy. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.